Brokering success demands a battle-ready strategy. TIE TMS equips brokers with the ultimate battle station for conquering a tough market. With TIE, brokers gain access to a comprehensive platform where rate intelligence and quote history coverage on a single screen. Revolutionize the way your brokers perform by giving them a competitive advantage with TIE TMS. For more info, visit tiesoftware.com/battlestation.
Welcome back to another edition of Check Call. Today we're covering all things cross-border and Mexico. Don't forget to subscribe to Check Call, the newsletter on freightwaves.com if you haven't already. Today we welcome Jess Abellido, the General Manager of Mexico at Arrive Logistics. Welcome to the show, Jess.
Hey, Mary. It's nice to be here.
I am too. I'm very excited about today because a couple months ago we talked to Noah up in Arrive Canada, and now we just got to go to the rest of North America because apparently Arrive is single-handedly taking over the continent, which I'm not mad about because you guys are pretty good at what you do. Before we get too far into it, though, let's get some background on you and kind of how you got started at Arrive.
Yeah, sure. So I've been in the logistics industry for, it'll be 12 years in September, mainly working in the 3PL space with large freight brokerages. I was initially, you know, in the initial stages of my career, focused on U.S. domestic freight. And in 2018, the opportunity presented itself to move down to Mexico to learn more about the cross-border world. And I just really fell in love with this niche in the industry. So that 1 year quickly turned into 3 years, turned into 5 years. And throughout, you know, my career trajectory, I was monitoring just the growth of Arrive and what, you know, the company's been able to do in a very short period of time. At the middle of, or I guess the second quarter of last year, they were really looking to bring on someone to help grow the cross-border product and help build the presence within Guadalajara. So it was really attractive for me. I think what, you know, any of us really look for is the opportunity to use our expertise and skills to have an impact. And so really wanted to bring my expertise in within the cross-border space to have a positive impact within Arrive. So I started in April of 2023, and I can't believe it's been a year, but it's been a wild ride. And yes, 100% taking over North America.
I mean, I kind of like the idea of you guys expanding south into Mexico, because we were actually making jokes about it that, you know, like, I've never met a TMS that can actually handle Canada and Mexico shipments. And you guys are pretty much just like, say less. We have a solution for it. Like, that's not a problem that we have. And I'm very jealous of that as someone who used to sit there and bash her head against a wall for the occasional cross-border shipment and just want to scream loudly from the roof.
Yeah, 100%. I think just, you know, everybody refers to it as the black hole right at the border. And I think that that's really where Arrive has been very bullish on investment within, the technology platform. And I think the fact that we can develop the technology in-house is a huge leg up. And something else that I've seen is, you know, when you're a specialized mode or a smaller mode within a larger, you know, organization, you know that Arrive's, you know, core competency is really dry van, truckload, domestic U.S. A lot of that tech doesn't always get prioritized, but I've been really, really impressed with the movement that we've made from a technology standpoint to support cross-border. And so there's a lot of visibility that we have at the border. It's not just, again, this black hole. We know if the load's at the border, when it's crossed, we're really able to track dwell time as well. And I think that that is important to be able to put back in front of our customers and really identify where certain inefficiencies exist within their supply chain. So, I mean, the process there from a tech standpoint is really iterative. And so we're building solutions, but they're continuing to get better and better. It's really exciting because I think as, you know, more entrants come into the cross-border space, the technology is going to be a key differentiator.
I 100% agree. I mean, the fact that you guys have that solution for those black hole moments, because I remember there was times they'd be like, oh, where is this? I'm like, I made it to the border and we're just going to hope it shows up when it's supposed to, because we don't know where it is. And that's not really an answer you ever want to give a shipper. Like, that doesn't make you feel good about your life.
And there's so much complexity there. It's, you know, it's not just crossing the border. There's the full documentation piece. And so I think, yeah, just to be able to provide visibility to that piece of the operation is huge.
100%. And the fact that you guys have that technology component and that visibility that you're already known for, you know, domestically has to be just kind of a leg up to say like, yeah, we actually really are better than everyone else.
100%.
All right. So a few months ago, we had talked to Noah and he had mentioned, he had explained the drive into expanding in Canada. And at that time, I don't know if he was just holding out a little secret. He didn't say that there was like big plans to expand down into Mexico. So what was kind of that driving force to say, yes, we want to have this office in Guadalajara. We want to expand our presence in Mexico. What kind of drove Arrive to pull the trigger and say, it's time to have this office down here?
So essentially, Arrive has had presence within Guadalajara since 2022 with the Forager acquisition. And so with that acquisition, talent was brought on within the U.S. and then also within Guadalajara. But the company had been working through shared office facility space, you know, over the course of the last 2 years. This office space is now a permanent space for us that we're, you know, not sharing, you know, with other companies. And that was the big move for us to really show that we were growing the bone, show that we were growing headcount in Guadalajara, and saying that this is something that we are, you know, in and for the long haul and we're going to put boots on the ground and set up here. So we have had, you know, again, that talent in place in Guadalajara since 2022, but this just represents a new step for the company in that it's, you know, our space and we're able to have a little bit more autonomy and flexibility as to how we grow south of the border.
I absolutely love that, especially like that whole like you have control over what's going to happen and how you're going to grow and develop. Because I mean, sharing office space is fun and it's fine, but also, you know, really saying no, we're here, especially to those Mexican shippers saying, hey, we're here, we're not going anywhere, we're not just going to come down here while everyone else is coming down here and then leave in a couple of months. Like, we're going to be here. We're going to truly be a partner and we're going to have your back through whatever happens in the coming months, years, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's, you know, twofold for our employees as well, to be able to attract, you know, the top talent within Guadalajara, them knowing that we do have a physical office, boots on the ground here. And then again, we're really in it, not just for a couple of years, but for the long haul. I think that really lends to higher, you know, employee retention and again allows us to recruit
top talent. I mean, everybody wants to recruit the top talent, but again, it's that stuff that you said, like, you know, we're gonna be here a hot minute. We have that buy-in from, like, you have buy-in from us. We have this building, we have this new office, we have this footprint here, and we're not going anywhere. So if you want to come hang out with us and not go anywhere, that'd be even better because we definitely need some help down here.
Totally, totally.
I guess so. When it comes to, you know, this expansion office and expanding services that you already have in Mexico, what are there? Are there any, you know, Mexico specific services that Arrive is providing, or is it still kind of that same baseline level of service that we expect and come to love here domestically that is also transferring down south of the border?
Yeah, so 100% going to, you know, work to maintain that reputation and build that brand down here in Mexico and make sure that translates. The scope of this office is really focused on the cross-border brokerage piece. So we've got our sales teams both on the carrier and customer-facing sites and our operative teams. And then there's essentially like two other pillars that we have within this office. One is global services. And so we have teams here that are also supporting the domestic U.S. business. So we have, you know, carrier tracking, customer operations, AR, AP clients. And then we also have a small technology team who's also helping with product development as well. So I think the focus of the office really is cross-border Mexico and making sure that as we go, we're maintaining that service and we're really living up to that brand that we've been able to build domestically. But again, we have some of these other functions that are also working to support the U.S. domestic business.
Honestly, that to me, the solution of it's no longer just a black hole of, you know, I hope something got picked up at time. And I either if something's originating in Mexico and you only know about it once it crosses into the US or vice versa. To me, the fact that you guys have that solution there and you're able to bring that visibility throughout the entire cross-border process is, to me, the ultimate game changer and the biggest win that you could offer.
Yeah, and I think also ensuring that there is this congruency and this relationship that continues to exist between all the satellite offices helps to ensure that we have this holistic product. Because we have local experts on the ground here, and Mexico is such a relationship-based culture. And so the fact that we have, you know, experts here who can really be on site with our shippers and build those relationships locally, that really helps, you know, to leverage those relationships as we work to also build the business in the U.S. as well. So it's really just having key players in every region to really support the business and make sure that we're on site and leveraging that expertise locally.
When you say that Mexico becomes increasingly more relationship-based, logistics already is pretty like, oh yeah, I know John. I've done business with him for so many years. Like, he's a good guy. But the fact that that almost feels like it's doubled, you know, in Mexico, it's got to be just like, yeah, we got a guy who knows a guy. And don't worry, all your problems are going to be solved because we have the guy that knows a guy and that knows a guy and knows a guy.
For sure. And it really is a relationship, you know, based culture in that I think in the U.S. you can, you know, you could cold call and you can develop a relationship and start moving, you know, freight with someone that you've never really met in person. But you really move the needle, you know, more quickly down here when you can meet somebody in person and you can really build that trust and in that way. So I think that is a huge advantage that we just have people here who can go and visit shippers and be on the ground as we work to scale these awards.
The one thing that I mean is presenting a big opportunity is all of the rise of certain shippers creating manufacturing facilities down in Mexico, and everybody just kind of looking to that for the ever popular phrase that you could probably make a drinking game out of is nearshoring. So I guess, do you see the rise of more industries and everything opening up shop in Mexico? Do you kind of see that as a pretty nice time for you guys to come in and expand this office in Mexico? Or is it just kind of like a nice, oh, look, we were already planning on doing this and everyone else came down here, so we're just going to take advantage of this because we're already here?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're really just seeing like the tip of the iceberg as it, you know, pertains to nearshoring. There's a lot of the investments that are happening, a lot of those plants, facilities aren't even up and running yet. So in the coming years is when we'll really see a lot of those volumes come to fruition. And so I think nearshoring 100% is you know, the future. And, you know, while we weren't, you know, the first mover, I think that we definitely had a leg up in terms of what we've been able to establish and the length of time that we have been down in Guadalajara. And I think another aspect here is also just the sustainability of nearshoring, right? I think that there's obviously benefits from a cost perspective, but really moving production closer to the end consumer when we're thinking about just the future in general, it's just a more sustainable option. And so it's really exciting to just see these trends and, you know, obviously a few other competitors coming down to Mexico, but we do feel like we have a leg up for sure, given the talent that we have and the technology and the team.
I mean, that's everything that you just talked about, the relationships, the team, the presence, the, you know, that kind of already gold standard that you have for the brand that came from, you know, the U.S. domestically and then now Canada, just coming on down to Mexico. I feel like you guys really are, not to toot your horn or inflate your ego too much, I feel like you guys really are kind of that logical solution of like, just don't worry, just go hang out with them. Like, Arrive's got you. Like, they already have this proven record. So why bother going with someone that just came down here just in time? Like, they just set up an office and they only decided to come down here when everyone else came down here and they're going to try and make a gold rush of some sort. And so that's where I think that's really kind of going to propel you guys forward is, yeah, there is competition, but again, there's competition here, and Arrive very clearly has you know, put all of them in the ground.
Yeah, I think we're focused on all the right things. That we talked about the technology piece. I think we talked about like talent acquisition from a people perspective, but You know, the office right now is over around 100 people. And, you know, a portion of that is supporting cross-border. But as I mentioned, some of these other functions, we've been very strategic about how we want to develop the teams through very specific career pathing. And so that also with cross-border, what we tend to see is with the complexity, that learning curve overall can be quite steep. And so really planning ahead and making sure that as we build out this talent, that there's a way for people to, and our people, excuse me, to incrementally gain these skills and this experience leads to better retention overall. And I think just a better product and network, not just throwing this complexity to our people at once, but we're really trying to build on those skills throughout their career.
I mean, I'm a sucker for anything that involves career development, because that is another way to show that, you know, you're more than just a number. We're invested in your future. You know, we have a plan for you should you want to stay. I'm a sucker for anyone that takes career development seriously. And well done. You guys have earned a W in my book even more than you are.
Awesome. We just need a W in your book for sure.
All right. So what do you see kind of as the future for cross-border freight? Because it's going through kind of that big technological revolution right now. We have the Complementa Carta. You know what I'm talking about. I forget the name of it. But we have that happening. That's starting to go into effect. And actually, you know, people have to start adhering to it. So what do you kind of see for the future of cross-border freight?
Yeah, for sure. I think we'll continue to see additional investments. We'll continue to see additional companies moving down south of the border, having boots on the ground. I know you mentioned the Complemento Carta Porte, which is, I think, we're in the last leg of it. I think at this point, you know, the industry is very well aware of what the expectations are. And it's been definitely a process in the implementation. It's been several years. There's been a lot of ambiguity, but I think at this point, there was some disruption at the start of the year, you know, with the 3.0 coming out. But that's essentially what the Mexican government has done. They've implemented, you know, the new regulation, and then they've said that fines aren't going to be applicable until a few months later. And that really, what that does, it gives the industry some time to really acclimate. And so right now, the customers, carriers, customs brokers are already acclimated to this. And I think we did see some of that disruption within January, but it sounds like for the most part, there's been forward progress, and that, you know, I think we'll be in a good position come April. I think, again, there'll still be that disruption once those fines go into place. But I think overall, just like the long extended or the prolonged implementation of the CCP has prepared like the industry for this to take effect. But I think, you know, you had mentioned just the technology piece. We'll continue to see a lot more automation, standardization. I think just getting to kind of where the domestic freight is from a technological standpoint. So let's say, like, you know, EDI, being able to really measure like tender rejection. There's a lot that we can't do from a data analytics perspective. And so bringing, you know, I think right now, probably like 30% of the customer base, maybe even less than that, is on EDI. And so I think getting to a point where there's a lot more of that automation that's happening within cross-border that isn't happening in the current state. And yeah, I think just, you know, we'll see some of this competition, right? As the demand increases for capacity, for specialized resources or people with cross-border expertise, I think we'll just see a lot of competition, south of the border.
The one of the interesting things that you were talking about was that, you know, only a certain percentage of shippers or carriers or anything like that are on EDI. And to me, that's, first of all, kind of mind-blowing, because in some areas, EDI is kind of quickly being replaced by those API calls. But there's obviously still a world that both of them will exist together. But I kind of feel like Mexico is in this cool spot where it's going to get all of this new technology at one spot or at one time, kind of like, you know, all the other industries got these cool AI upgrades. They got all this new software, this new tech. And then here comes transportation running off of Excel sheets and faxing BOLs to people. And then now we have kind of been propelled into the 21st century. So I kind of like that that is coming to a whole region. I mean, it's going to be a huge shock when everything goes from I'm going to just handwrite something to, oh, it'll just come through as like a text on your cell phone. That's kind of a big jump. And there's this pretty steep learning curve. But I do like that everything is getting that technology and that ability to, you know, capture data and then, you know, be able to have those analytics that we have here. Just that's also just me being a data nerd and liking some good old fashioned analytics.
Yeah, but I think that's a good point is that there might even be this, some of these jumps where it doesn't make sense to implement like an antiquated, you know, form of technology. And then you're able to really, you know, step into the 21st century with this new technology that is already being utilized domestically. So it'll be, yeah, it will be pretty interesting.
I'm kind of excited about that because they don't have to have kind of like, for lack of a better analogy, like you don't have to go from the brick Nokia phone to like the flip phone to another to like the BlackBerry to then like an iPhone. You kind of get to go and skip all of like the growing pains and everything that everyone else has figured out doesn't work. You can kind of just skip straight, like you can just skip all the hard parts and go straight to what works, which is the best way to do it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
All right. So, Jess, we are running out of time, but there's a question that everyone that comes on the show has to answer, and you are no exception. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
A hot dog is a sandwich. I would say that the actual hot dog, you know, is not, but if we're talking about the actual definition of a sandwich, it's essentially pieces of bread and some form of meat. And so I would say in the general definition of a sandwich, a hot dog would fall into that category.
I have to disagree, but that's okay. We all have our opinions. My biggest thing is like when you walk into a deli, you're not going to see a hot dog on the menu. Like you're going to see all the other sandwiches, but you're not going to see a hot dog. But that being said, throughout the course of these last 2.5 years, I have seen the other side and you guys on the, yes, it is a sandwich. You do bring up some good points. However, it has not been enough to sway me yet. But I love that you have a stance on it.
Yeah, for sure. That was a hard one. I feel like hamburger is also kind of fall into that. It's like kind of a sandwich, but understand your point that it's not really ever on a sandwich menu. So
exactly. And, you know, who am I to disagree with a delightful deli? You know, who am I to disagree with those guys? So if anyone has opinions on hot dogs as sandwiches or if they need anything with cross-border freight, where can they find you outside the show?
Guys can find me on LinkedIn.
Well, you guys heard it here first. Jess's DMs are open for all things ridiculous hot dogs and cross-border freight. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, Mary. Appreciate it.
You can find Chat Call the Podcast anywhere else you get your podcasts like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Don't forget to check out all the other incredible FreightWave shows. And don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter on freightwaves.com/checkcall. See you on the internet.